The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are up to the laws of Kriyat Shema and Hamapil. We are in Simin Ayin Aleph. Sif Dalid. As an introduction, we should mention that the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema and Hamapil were instituted when a person goes to sleep at night. If someone sleeps in the daytime, even if he sleeps for a long period of time, and even if he regularly sleeps during the daytime, the poskim say there is no mitzvah to say hamapil. The mitzvah of saying hamapil is only one time per night, so that if someone goes to sleep at night, says hamapil, and wakes up shortly afterwards, and then goes to sleep a second time, he does not say hamapil again. If someone is traveling, let's say by airplane, for example, and they expect to sleep a significant amount of time, if it is nighttime, then they may make the bracha of hamapil. The poskim say, at the very least, it would have to be that they expect to get a half hour of sleep. Any time when there's a situation of doubt, they should not say the bracha of hamapil with the name of Hashem. They could say it without the Shem Hashem. There is a minority view among the poskim that says that one would not make the bracha of hamapil if they're going to sleep after chatzos halayla. If they're going to sleep after midnight, then they would not say this bracha at all. This is actually brought down by the Chida in the name of the Tshuva Slach Mitoda. However, the Chida rejects it. And certainly the way we paskin is, if one is going to sleep at any time during the night, he should say the bracha of hamapil, assuming he's expecting to sleep for a significant amount of time. So let's start halacha dalet. Im lo kara gimel parshios shel kriya shema kishahoya laila, if someone did not say the three sections of kriya shema when it was night, meaning, for example, he davened Ma'ariv too early. This can frequently happen when there are minyanim that davened Ma'ariv too early and he wanted to daven with a minyan. Azai Yomer Ko Hagimo Parshios B'Kriya Shema Sha'ar Amita, then he should be sure to say all three Parshios of Kriya Shema when he's going to sleep. Avoyim Amram Balaila, let's say he did say them already at night. Einot Sorach LaOmram B'Kriya Shema Sha'ar Amita, he's not required to say all three Parshios upon going to sleep. Ki'im Parsha HaRishona Bavad, other than the very first parsha, which means they should say Shema Yisrael and the section of Yohavta. Umiko makam lemitzvah min amufcha. In any case, the best mitzvah is Yomar Kol Hagimel Parshios, is to say all three parshios. V'achakach omrim mizmorei upsukei derachamim, and afterwards to say the various psukim of Rachamim as it is published in the Siddur. So again, if someone has not said Kriya Shema, all three parshios, at night, then they must say it upon going to sleep. If they did say it already, they are not required to say more than the first parsha. But it is more ideal to say all three parshios anyhow, even if they said it already. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah, he adds that if you're saying all three parshios, you should say the three introductory words, Kel Melech Ne'eman, because this brings the number of words in Kriya Shema up to the total of 248, which corresponds to the 248 parts of one's body. V'ulam. And however, Berov Hasidurim Nitfas Berkas Hamapil Kodim Kriya Shema, in the majority of Sidurim, the Bracha of Hamapil is published before Kriya Shema. The Yoser Tov, but is even better, Lomar Birkas HaMapil Basof, that one should say the Bracha HaMapil at the end, Shetehaya Bracha Smucha L'Shena, so that the Bracha will be right before going to sleep. And this would be similar to any Bracha that we make on eating food, that we try to make the Bracha immediately before taking a bite. Similarly, whenever we are doing a mitzvah which has a bracha on it, we try to make the bracha as close as possible to when we do the mitzvah. So the same would be true with the bracha of HaMapil. He's recommending that the bracha be said immediately before going to sleep. Now, this is subject to dispute, but this is the position of the Mishnah Berurah as well, that it is most ideal for the bracha of HaMapil to be said after Shema, and not before. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that one should be careful not to have any form of hefsek, any form of interruption, after making the bracha of HaMapil and going to sleep. So, for example, if someone is hungry or thirsty or wants to discuss something, they should still be careful not to interrupt between bracha and sleep. It is so much so that in the Bir Halacha he says that if one has a doubt whether or not he'll be able to fall asleep, so ideally he should not be making this bracha altogether. Now, many poskim disagree with this, and according to many poskim, they adopt the position of the Chayei Adam that says that even if one makes the bracha and does not fall asleep at all, it is not a bracha levatala, because the bracha was established on the concept of going to sleep. And if someone does not fall asleep, so then it is not considered a worthless bracha. It is similar in this way to Birkas HaShachar, that we are to make a bracha upon hearing a rooster. Even if we don't hear the rooster, we still make the bracha every morning. Still, the Chayei Adam and the other poskim would say that if one is assuming that they're not going to go to sleep, then they should not say the bracha, at least not in its full form. But in the event that one does expect to go to sleep and they, in the end, cannot fall asleep, then it should not be viewed as a bracha levatala. Now, according to this, if someone would be hungry or thirsty or have an urgent matter that they have to discuss, even after making a bracha of HaMapil, before falling asleep, they would be allowed to do so. And this is the way it is brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos. Even more so, if there's a mitzvah that needs to be done. For example, someone makes the bracha of HaMapil, and subsequently he realizes that he forgot to daven Ma'ariv, or that he forgot to count Svira, or he hears thunder and lightning and he wants to make a bracha on it. So according to this approach, he would be allowed to, in fact obligated, to do that mitzvah. Now, everyone agrees that ideally you should do whatever talking and eating or anything else before making a bracha of HaMapil. The only question is, b'di'evet, if someone already did make the bracha of HaMapil, would they be allowed to interrupt before going to sleep for all these different things? And again, it seems to be a machlokes haposkim. Now, the Magen Avraham brings down that women are exempt from the mitzvah of the bracha of HaMapil, because it's a mitzvah esei shezman grama. It's a time-bound positive mitzvah. The Shaar HaTzion rejects this approach based on the Prima Gadim, and he says that women have the same obligation as men. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that he says most women definitely do say the bracha of HaMapil. So now the Kitzur tells us a little bit more about the seder of what to be said upon going to bed. He says, V'yomar Kriya Shema im ha-mizmorim, one should say Kriya Shema along with the various Parakim of Tehillim, Kodem Shaholech Lemitoso, before going to bed. Uberkas Hamapil Yoma, while the Brach of Hamapil, he should say, Kishahu Al Mitoso, when he already is on his bed. Vikodem Sheyelech Lemitoso, before he goes to his bed, Yelech El Hamizuzah, Vianich Esposav Allah, one should go to the mezuzah, and he should put his fingers in it, the yomer, and he should say, Hashem Shomri, V'yachakach Yomer Zayin Pamim B'chod Rechecha. First he should say the Pasuk of Hashem Shomri, and then seven times he should say the Pasuk of B'chod Rechecha. U'la'aka Sh'oma Berkas HaMapel, after he says the Brach of HaMapel, Lo Yolcho, V'lo Yishter, V'lo Yidaba, Achi Yishon, he should not eat or drink or speak until he sleeps. So this we already discussed, is certainly true l'chatchila. As far as b'di'eved, there are different opinions. Im eino yochel lishon, if he cannot fall asleep, yomer od hapam kriya shema v'hamizmarim u'psukei derachmi, he should again say kriya shema and the various psukim. V'chozer v'korah, and he should continuously repeat them, ad shetach tefeno shena, until he is overcome by sleep. Now it's obvious that these psukim would certainly not serve as an interruption between the bracha of HaMapil and going to sleep, because these psukim are relevant to his going to sleep. Alternatively, he says, O yomer kama pamim psukim elo. He could say many times the following psukim, Tamar tziva lano, Eish tamid, Seifim, Senesim, Or Zerua, Acha Techteveno Shena, until sleep overcomes him. Vihi Segula, Linatzel, Mi Mikre Laila, Rachman Litzlan. And this is a skula, a merit for him, Linatzel, Mi Mikre Laila, that to protect him from nocturnal emissions, Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, which is something which is viewed very negatively in Halacha and in Kabbalah. Utehe kavanoso bashena, and when he's going to sleep, his intent in going to sleep should be lechazek kocho laavodes kono, so that he should be rejuvenated, so that he can serve his Creator. For oz nechsheves lo laavodes shemayim, and then it would be viewed as if he's doing a big mitzvah. So then the Kitzur tells us, im tzorech l'shamish mitaso. If he needs to engage in marital relations, lo yomar tchila berkas hamapel, he should not say hamapel prior to doing so, ela achakach korel, but afterwards he should read lekol hapachos parsha rishona shel kriya shema, at the very least the first parsha of shema, veoma berkas hamapel, and afterwards say the brach of hamapel as the last thing before going to sleep. Now here too, not all poskim agree with this approach, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the bracha of HaMapel, and certainly all the other things that he's saying, should be said before engaging in marital relations. Again, this is a machlokes haposkim, but it does seem that most views follow the position of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. Now, one last point in this halacha. Earlier, we presented the lenient view, which says that even though lechatchila hamapo should be said immediately before going to sleep, but if there is some mitzvah that needs to be done, one would be allowed to interrupt for it, such as counting sfira or davening ma'ariv. But according to the strict view, and by the way, Rav Chaim Kanievsky follows this position, that you're not allowed to interrupt after HaMapel before going to sleep under any circumstances. So what would someone do if they realized they didn't daven Ma'ariv or count Sfira? According to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they'd be obligated to sleep a little bit first, and then afterwards count Sfira or daven Ma'ariv or bench. In fact, Rav Chaim Kanievsky recommends that people should set their alarm clock for a half hour after they fall asleep, so that they'll be able to wake up then and say these requirements after having slept. Now, one interesting thing is he was asked, what happens if someone did speak after the bracha of Hamapo? So, does that mean that now they are allowed to subsequently say whatever they want because they're already interrupted? And he leaves that as a tzarachien. Notice he leaves it unresolved. But he does say that if someone hears thunder and lightning, they cannot make a bracha. If someone goes to the bathroom, they cannot say Asher Yotzer. But they would have to sleep first before being able to do any mitzvah at all. He also suggests one other possibility, and that is if someone else could be motzi you in these brachas, so then that would also work. I'm not sure how you would communicate to them that they should be motzi you. Maybe you would have to write down on a piece of paper or use hand motions, but that would be another way to not interrupt between hamato and sleep, is to have someone else motzi you in those particular brachas. Again, this represents the strict view. There are many poskim who are lenient and say that you would be allowed to do any necessary mitzvah even after saying hamapo.
We are up to halacha hey. Now Bikitzer will discuss various aspects about going to sleep. He says, Yipshot malbushov me'alov, one should take his clothes off, v'lo yishan d'malbushov, and he should not go to sleep while he's wearing his clothes. Kishacholetz mina olav, when he takes off his shoes, uposhet bigodav, and he takes off his clothing, choletz uposhet shosmo tchila, he should first take off the left one, and only afterwards the right. V'lo yaniach malbushov tachas mirashasov, and he should not put his clothing underneath his head, ki mishakeach limudo, because it causes one to forget his learning. Now, in the Gemara, it is brought down that one should not go to sleep with shoes on, which the Mefarshim say because this will cause people to forget their learning. And there seems to be a machlokas, there's a dispute, whether this applies to children as well, or at least to young children. In this Sefer Einei Kochai, he says that a young child who has not learned anything yet, we're not concerned about him forgetting his learning. However, there's a tshuva from the Salmas Chaim, from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, where he says that even with babies, one needs to be strict that they not go to sleep with shoes on. When Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked about this, he explained that even though a child has not yet learned anything, but we don't want to instill within him the nature of becoming more forgetful. Now this that the Kitzer says that your clothing should be taken off the left side first, this is basically the inverse of how we put on our clothing, is that we always put it on whether it's a sleeve or it's your pants or your shoes, we always put on the right side first. So when you take it off, you take off the left side first. And this is showing respect to the right side, because the right side is always going to be on the longest. So the Kitzer goes on and says, V'tzarech lizoher me'od, one needs to be very careful, lahargil es atzmo, to accustom himself, lishkav al tzido, to lie on his side. The iser gado, it's very strong prohibition, lishkav prakton, to lie down prakton. What does the prakton mean? Dahaino, this means to say, either gabo lamata, his back down, upanav lamala, and his face up, o behipuch, or the reverse, panav lamata, his face down, the gabo lamala, and his back up. Notice both of those positions are wrong. Eladafka outsido, but he should specifically sleep on his side. Now, there's a machlokes haposkim whether this applies to times that a person is not going to sleep. If he's just lying down, would that also qualify? V'tov sheyishkav b'tchila shinaso outside smo. It is good for him to lie down at the beginning of his sleep on his left side. Ubasof outside yamin. In the end of his sleep, he should be on his right side. V'hu tov lebrias haguf. And this is ideal for his health. Ki hakaved munach b'tzad yamin, because his liver is on his right side. For it's toimcha b'tzad shmol, while his stomach is more on the left side. It's b'kasha yita outside shmol, and when he's turned onto his left side, azayya hakaved al ha'itzmocha. So then the liver will be on his stomach and will be warming it up with its heat. And this way the food will digest quicker. And after the food digests, then it is ideal for him to turn on his right side. In order that his stomach will be able to rest, and that the waste will be able to go out. And he should be careful not to go back and forth to each side many times. So, I guess we do not expect to find a lesson in human anatomy in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but the source, the basic source of this material, can be found in the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, and a number of the Mefarshim bring down that it is ideal to be choshesh, to be concerned for the position of the Rambam, and we should follow his setup, meaning to always sleep on the side, but at the beginning of the sleeping session to be on the left side, while at the end to be on the right side. Al pi Kabbalah, it is brought down that before Chatzos Halayla, one should be on the left side, and after Chatzos Halayla, one should be on the right side. Now, it's interesting, this idea of on which side one should sleep cannot be found in the Mishnah Berurah, which makes us think that the Mishnah Berurah would only require us to sleep on our side, and which side would be up to us. The Gemara says in Horius, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that the Kohanim used to go to sleep with their big day kahuna, with their garments folded up and put underneath their heads. Now, this seems to be not like the halacha that we just learned, which says that one may not put their malbush, their clothing, underneath their heads when they sleep. Among the many answers that are given to this question is that the Kohanim had something in between their heads and the clothing. For example, they had a pillow there. Based on this, there are poskim that say that to fold up your clothing and put it underneath your pillow is not a problem. Now, there's a machlokes haposkim whether or not one may put their clothing underneath his head if it is on a one-time basis. In other words, when we say that it is kasha l'shikha, that it will induce forgetfulness, does that mean if he does it one time, or if he does it on a regular basis? And the position of the Salmas Chaim, of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, is that it's only talking about if he'll do it on a regular basis. But to do it one time, that's fine. There are many who argue in this, and the position of Rabbi Avadi Yosef is that we should be strict. There's also a machlokes haposkim whether or not there's a problem to sleep with someone else's clothing underneath their head. In other words, the way it's brought down in the Gemara is Hamaniach Malbul Shav. One who puts his own clothing underneath his head will forget his learning. The implication is someone else's clothing would be fine. But some poskim did not approve of this diuk, of this inference, and they would say that there still would be a concern even with someone else's clothing.